Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Ksubas Daf Kuf Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the bottom line of Daf Kuf Ches Omid Beis. You'll see a Mishnah that appears there. The Mishnah deals with a father-in-law that committed himself to, or we should say maybe pledged, money toward the wedding of his daughter. And then he declares to his son-in-law that I am not paying. Haposek mos lechasono. Posek is a situation of a person pledging a certain amount of money for his son-in-law. That means to give to his daughter in anticipation of the wedding. Uposhat lo esoregel. This expression, without translating it literally, means he then reneges. There are different explanations on as to what exactly it means, but it's basically his refusal to provide the funds that he had pledged. Literally, it means he stretched out his leg. It's with some dirt on it, and as Rashi says, he tells his son-in-law, "Clean the dirt off my shoe." But you should note also that in modern Hebrew, this expression, poshelos regel, is a term used for bankruptcy. So you have that situation. The Mishnah continues at the top of Kuf Tes Omed Aleph, Teshev ad Shetalbin Rosha. The daughter, the bride, can sit until her hair turns white. In other words, the son-in-law can say, if you're not going to give me what you pledged, then I'm simply not marrying her, and she can sit and she can stay as she is until her old age. Admon Omer, Yecholehi Shetomar, Admon, you can see this is the third of the seven halachas in the name of Admon. He can say, Ilu ani posakti latzmi, if I was the one that pledged the money, then a shevat shetalbin roshi, then I will stay, then it's my problem, then I brought it on myself. Achshav shaba posak, mani yochola lasois. Now that it's my father that made the pledge, what am I supposed to do? O knos, o ptor. We didn't mention at the beginning, but this is a situation where the girl has already entered Erusin. She's already entered the first stage of marriage. So the threat of her being remaining, we'll say, single or unwed is a serious threat, because otherwise she's now an Ashes East. She has a married status, and her husband-to-be isn't going to consummate the marriage. Admon, however, says that it's not her fault, and therefore she can say to the husband, O Knos, either you take me in, you consummate the marriage with Nisuin, O Ptor, or free me by giving me a divorce. Omar Rabbi Gamliel, Roya Ani Es Divrei Admon. And Rabbi Gamliel feels that Admon's way is the way to go. On the side, we've provided a topic heading. Haposek mos lechasano poshat lo asoregel. Lefi haMishnah noisei haMachlokes Admon v'Chachomim hadinim mi. According to our Mishnah, the topic of the Machlokes between Admon and the Chachomim is with whom is the law? Hachosen or Abbas? Does the husband have the upper hand? Can he call the shots? Or the daughter, the bride. The fi brisa muva b'gemara, according to another Tanaic source brought in the Gemara, no se machlokes admon chomim hino, the machlokis, the topic of the machlokis between Admon and Chomim is b'mikre she poskali atzma, where she herself had pledged money. Aval b'mikre she'ovia posak v'lo nasan, where the father had made the pledge but did not come through. Hadini mo, there everyone will agree the law is with her. She can say, it's my father that made the pledge, what can I do? Now the Gemara. Masnisin delo ki hai tana. Our Mishnah is not like the following Brisa. Desanya, Omar Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Huda, loy nechleku admon vachomim, ala poisek mos lechasono, uposhat los regel. There is no machlokis concerning a father-in-law that dedicated money toward the wedding of his daughter with the son-in-law and then reneged. She yechola hi shetomar, the bride, the daughter of that man can say, Abba posak olai, father pledged, ma ani yechola lasos, what can I do? Al ma nechleku, so then what is the point of machlokis? Al sheposko hi al atzmo, where she pledged to bring money into the marriage, and then reneges. Shechachomim omrim teishevat she'tal bin rosha, she shall sit until her old age, and she's just locked into this state of non-consummated marriage. And Admon Omer Yechola he shetomar, she can say, Kisvurani sha'abo noisin olai, I thought that I would be backed up by father, that he would come through for me. The Achshav Shein Abba Noisin Olai, now that I see father is not coming through for me on my pledge, Ma Ani Yechola Asos, what can I do? O Kenos, O Petor, either take me in, consummate the marriage as is, or free me with a get. Omar Rabon Gamliel, Roe Ani Es Divrei Admon. Tana, now Tana is a Tanaic source that is an explanation of this Brisa. It goes on the Brisa. It says, "Bamedvam amurim begdola." The idea of leaving the girl in a lurch is if she is a gedola, if she made a pledge as an adult, meaning she's over 12 years of age. Aval bektana koifin. If she is a minor, then we force koifin leman. Who are we forcing? Ilema laav. If it's an issue of forcing the father. Well, ibcha mi boyale. It should have been then the opposite, that when is it that we force the father? If it is a gedola, if the daughter that is a gedola, that her tnai, the pledge of a girl that's an adult, is meaningful, but the pledge of a ktana lacks all meaning whatsoever. So why would the source say kufin if the forcing is going on the father and it's the tnai of a ktana? Ela omar rova kufin labal litain get. So rather, the brisa that said what it did is only if it's referring to the forcing of the husband to give a get. So that when the source, when this secondary brisa says bamed v'amurim begedola, it's bamed v'amurim that we leave things, we'll say in a lurch, and we don't force the husband to give a get. But if it's a condition that was made by a ktana, then we will force the husband to either give a get or to take her in. Let us glance at the side. We have a new topic heading, the Nosei, and we indicate that this is a keta, a section of Gemara, shel psikas halacha, where halacha is presented as a final ruling. Ha'im poiskim kechonon b'mishnayas rishonos ke'admon olo. Are we to rule like Chonon in the first Mishnayos of the Perek? He introduced two halachas, and likewise, do we rule like Admon or not? Admon had presented is presenting, we'll say, seven halachas, three of which we've seen already. Omar Rav Yitzchok ben Elazar Mishmei Dechizkiah. Kol Mokim Sha'omar Rabbi Gamliel Roya Ani Es Divrei Admon, where that phrase appears, Rabbi Gamliel entering the Mishnah, saying that I approve of the halacha of Admon. So the halacha goes like him. Omar le Rava the Rav Nachman. Rava asks Rav Nachman, Afilu b'braisa, does this apply also to the braisa? You see, we have a little arrow to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text. If you scan up a couple lines, you'll see that Rabban Gamliel says that phrase also with regard to the braisa. So does that mean that we follow which Rabban Gamliel says in the braisa as well? Amar Lei. So Rav Nachman answers, Mi Kwamrinan b'Mishnah? Did I say that we'll follow Rabban Gamliel's ruling only in the Mishnayos? Bechol Mokim Shomer Rabban Gamliel Kwamrinan. Wherever Rabban Gamliel says that, it is the way to go, it's the way we will rule. So including the comment of Rabban Gamliel in the Braisa. Omar Rabbi Zera, Omar Rabo Bar Yirmiya. Shnei Dvorim, Sha'omar Chonon. The two points of Chonon, Halocha Kayotse Bo. The term Kayotse Bo is a reference to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who had appeared in the Mishnayos where Chonon introduced his halacha, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had said that I approve, I go with the teachings of Chonon. Shiva Dvarim Shomar Admon, Ein Halacha Kayotse Bo. The 7 points that halacha said, so the halacha does not follow the Kayotse Bo. Now here we translate, but we're going to have to point out that it's not accurate. It doesn't make any sense. And we'll have to wait for the Gemara to explain it. But if we just translate it, it comes out that the 7 points that Admon says, the halacha will not follow the Kayotse Bo. The Kayotse Bo, in the case of Admon, is a reference to Rabban Gamliel, who had approved Admon's teachings. So you know that already is very difficult in light of the Gemara just before this with Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar in the name of Chizkiah saying that we actually do follow Rabbi Gamliel. So the Gemara asks, "My Ka'omar, what is being said here? That the Shiva Dvarim that Admon says, Ein Halacha Kayotse Bo." And in order to analyze this, you see that we have several stages, and that's what the volcano shape is highlighting, and on the side under the Mivneh heading, you can see we've written that this represents Shlavei Birur, stages in clarifying Kedei Lahavin Divrei Rabbi Zera. So the Gemara says, My Ka'omar, what is being said over here by Rabbi Zera? Ilema Hachi Ka'omar, Shnei Dvorim She'omar Chonon Halacha Kamoso the Kayotse Boy, the Shiva Dvorim Shomar Admoin Ein Halocha Kamoisoi Velo Kayotse Bo. That the two things that Chonon said, Halocha follows Chonon and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who supported him, and the 7 things that Admon said, Halocha does not follow him nor the one that supported him, namely Rabbi Gamliel. That can't be, though. The Omar Rabbi Yitzchok ben Elazar Mishmei Dechizkiah. This is the quote from above. We have arrows to help you find it. Kol Mokum Shama Rabban Gamliel Roya Ani Es Divrei Admon Halacha Kamoso. That wherever Rabban Gamliel says, I like Admon, the halacha follows him. Elo Hachi Komar. Rather, thusly, Rabbi Zera was saying, Shnei Dvorim Shomar Chonon Halacha Kamoisoi V'chayotze Bo. So far, that's the same as we said before. The two things that Chonon says, the halacha follows him and he who supported him, namely Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And as far as Chonon, just by the way, you'll note that That's not going to be changing in these various presentations, that the halacha follows him and the kayotze bo, the one who supported him. However, let's see what is with regard to the shiva dvarim, shomar admon, ein halacha kayotze bo. Ha kemoisoi halacha bekulhu. That means that the seven things that Admon says, we're not going to take Rabban Gamliel's point of view, that thought that only with regard to three of Admon's teachings are we to follow, but rather we're going to follow Admon, who stated his teachings on 7 points. In other words, what Rabbi Zera is saying, if you accept this, is that we should disregard Rabban Gamliel's approach. And his approach, by the way, we had highlighted, if you just want to look back, we had used a double underlining for this purpose in order to see quickly that where Rabban Gamliel is supporting Admon's teachings. So you can see that on Kuf Ches Amid Beis, you have the first two halachas and Rabban Gamliel following with his statement, Ro'ani as Divrei Admon. But as you go on to the next Mishnah, where you see a number 4, you don't see any appearance of Rabban Gamliel. And the same is the case in the succeeding Mishnayos, which you find on Amud Beis. You see the 5th teaching of Admon, and again, no appearance of Rabban Gamliel. And the same is the case with regard to Kuf Yud Amud Aleph, where 6 and 7 appears, once again, no Rabban Gamliel. Because Rabban Gamliel was saying, I like Admon in only 3 of his rulings, and I don't like him in the others, and Rabbi Zera is coming to say, if you accept number 2 over here, Rabbi Zera is saying that Rabban Gamliel is not to be followed, because he limits our acceptance of Admon to 3, when he should have accepted Admon in all 7. The Gemara says this suggestion is rejected, is cannot be. From Rabbi Yitzchok ben Elazar, Mishmei Dechizkia, Kol Mokim She'omar Rabban Gamliel, Royani as Divrei Admon Halacha Kamoso, Omar In, Lo Omar Lo, that all the places that Rabban Gamliel spoke up and said, we shall follow Admon, then and only then will we follow Admon. But if Rabban Gamliel did not speak up, then we won't follow Admon. Ela hochi komar. So what Rabbi Zera must have been saying is as follows. Shnei dvorim shomar chonon halocha kemoso v'kayotze bo. Shiva dvorim shomar Admon. As far as the 7 points of Admon, yesh mehen shalocha kemoso v'kayotze bo, v'yesh mehen she'ein halocha kemoso elo kayotze bo. There, of the 7 things that Admon said, there are some that the halocha will follow him and Rabban Gamliel, who has supported him, and there are other halochas of Admon that we are not going to go like him, but rather like Rabban Gamliel. Wherever Rabban Gamliel spoke up, namely the first 3 Admon teachings, there we will follow Admon. Enoch, the others, no. Now, with that having been said, we continue with the next Mishnah, which is, we'll say, the first example of an Admon halacha without Rabban Gamliel supporting him. Before we learn the Mishnah, we glance at the side. We have a topic heading which reads under the Nosei, Ha'irer al Hasodeh, Hu Chosim Oleo Eid, Be'eid. So, Ha'irer means someone who is contesting the ownership of property. And that contester, the challenger, the Orer, he challenges ownership. That, or if you use a simple word, the complainer, he happens to be signed on as a witness. Now that's a little abstract. What does that mean? So we have an example on the side. Levi mochar soda l'Shimon. Levi sells a field to Shimon. Ve'al shtar ha-mechira, Ruvain chosum ke'ed. And on the document of sale on the deed, you have Reuven signing as a witness, as one of two witnesses that is necessary to give a contract its full legal strength. So you need two witnesses, and one of them is Reuven that signed on as a witness. Aval Reuven ma'arer b'fnei Shimon, but Reuven complains to Shimon, Shelevi ze shemachalo chasode gozlo mimeni, that the one who sold the field to you, he stole it from me. So you have an obvious problem here. You have a contradiction. You have on the one hand, Reuven complaining to Shimon, hey, you know, you bought a stolen property, it's my field. And on the other hand, you have that very same Reuven, the complainer, that is signing on the transaction between Levi and Shimon, indicating that it's I second the motion, that I agree that it's Levi's field to sell to Shimon. So what do we make of this? The Mishnah, Ha'erer al Hasodeh v'hu chosim olel eid. And just as we explained, as we said, that Reuven complained to Shimon regarding a particular field that he bought from Levi, that being my field that Levi stole from me. Now, the Tosfos Rid adds a very significant piece of information, and that is that there are witnesses that the field had belonged to Reuven. Reuven's not coming just out of the blue complaining, hey, you know, you bought stolen property, but Reuven also is able to produce witnesses that the field had been Reuven's. The big problem is that Reuven is kind of signing away his rights to it by signing the transaction between Levi and Shimon, where Shimon would be able to say, if this field was really yours, then why are you signing on the shtar that Levi prepared for me? It must be that the fact that you signed on the deed is really tantamount to a confession that it's not yours, but it really belongs to Levi. So we continue in the Mishnah. Admon Omer. Admon says, Yochol hu sheyoymar, the complainer, in our example, Reuven, he does not forfeit his rights to the field. He can explain why he signed on to the sale. He could say, Hasheni noyach li v'arishon koshemenu. You, the buyer, were easier for me to deal with. You didn't pose a threat. Whatever the nature of the threat is, it was easier for me to deal with you, to get the field away from you, than to get it away from Levi. He was an awfully tough guy, that even though I have witnesses that it was my field, it's still maybe he's a member of the mob, and who wants to deal with them, and therefore I wanted the field to leave the possession of Levi for you to take it over so that I would be able to take it from you. The Chachomim Oimrim, Ibeid Ezechuso. The Chachomim say, no, if you signed on the sale, that is tantamount to forfeiting your rights to it. Asaw Simin Leachir, Ibeid Ez Zechuso. Now, to appreciate this situation, we look at the Rashi. Again, we're dealing with a complainer. Rashi says, Asaw Hamuchsik Bo Simin Liacher. There's a current holder of the field. And if we continue our example, I hope we don't get confused here with the names, but if we continue our example, Levi is interested in selling the field to Shimon. So Levi is the Muchsuk Bob. He's holding on to the field. He's currently holding on to it. And he makes it, he also, similarly Acher, we'll explain that in a moment. Shelo mochar Reuven ze orer olel. Levi is selling the field to someone other than the complainer. He's selling it to Shimon, an outsider. Elo lishacher hoyo moicher sode mitzadzu. There is a field over which Reuven is complaining. We have a little diagram on right to the side of this Rashi, as you can see. And the left, there are two fields featured here in the squares. The left-hand field is Sodeh Ha'irur. It's the field concerning which there is a complaint being lodged. Then there is the right-hand square indicates Sodeh Shenimkar, a field that is being sold right now. Levi is selling to Shimon. And Rashi goes on, Umeitzeh lo arbas mitzrei ha-sodeh. Shimon, that is Levi, who's selling the field, delineates the four borders of the field, describes what is on each one of the borders. V'kosav lo b'meitzorim, and he writes regarding the borders, Meitzer ploni sodeh sheli. One of the borders of the field I'm selling to you borders on a field that is mine. The also saw the zu simon meitzel lokeach ubishmoi shel mocher. That particular field, the field that was, we'll say, the contested field, was used as a border sign, and it was described as the seller's field. And the complainer signed on that deed. So, what are we in effect saying? We have a little caption under the diagram that we included, and we have a case where Levi is selling a field. It was a Levi Mocher Leshimon Sodeh. The Kosev Bishtar, and Levi writes in the title deed, Sha'al Meitzar Hamarovi, on the western border, Yesh Sodeh Sheli. There is my field is on the western border. And when he says Sodeh Sheli, it means my, meaning Levi. V'al Shtar Zeh Reuven Chosum Ke'ed. And on this shtar, Reuven has signed on as a witness. Chasimosu mareh shehu maskin d'shel Levihi. His signature indicates that the field, in fact, is Levi's. So what's going on? That Reuven is signing on a shtar, which indicates that the field concerning which he is protesting really belongs to Levi, the seller of the other field that borders on this. So the Mishnah says that if Reuven does sign on to such a document, Ibed is chuso, he loses his rights. Omar Abaye. The Gemara continues with Abaye telling us, Lo shonu elo aid. This idea of Ibed as a chuso, that one loses his rights because he signed on, is if it's a witness that signed on, and this individual, this witness, he was contesting the ownership of that particular field, which was being used as a sign of the borders. Avol dayon lo Ibed as a chuso. If the contester was not the witness that signed on, but rather he was a judge that signed on this document confirming the signatures of witnesses. This is a concept known as kium hashtoros. Kium hashtoros is verification of signatures. Oftentimes, the validity of a document is challenged by the claim that the witnesses that signed on were forged. So, in cases like that, the document is brought to the court, and judges accept the testimony of the witnesses themselves, who verify their signatures. Now, the judges, they don't read the content of the shtar; they're focusing only on the signatures. Being that the judge is not aware of the content of the shtar of the deed, in this situation where a field was being contested by a judge who verified the signatures in that shtar, i.e. the shtar which indicated that the field that the judge was contesting as his own was a field that someone was claiming, the seller was claiming as his. So the fact that the judge signs on the confirmation of the signatures does not constitute his forfeiting of the rights to the field. The Tony Rebbe Chia, Ein Ho'edim Chosmin Al Hashtar Lim Kein Koreu, Koruhu, witnesses who sign on documents, they don't sign until they read the contents of the document. We continue at the top of Omid Beis, Avol Hadayonim Chosmin Afalpi Shelo Koruhu, judges will sign on as a court confirmation of signatures without having read the content of the document. All they need to do is to focus on the signatures and establish them as authentic. I saw similarly Acher. On the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading. I saw Simon. Li Acher is one case is to an outsider. We had the example of Levi selling a field to Shimon, and Shimon being the outsider. V'ama'arer chosum al shtar ha'mechira ke'ed, and the ma'arer, the complainer, Reuven, had signed on the bill of sale as a witness. And there's another case, and that's what Abai will reveal, of the sale to the ma'arer, to the complainer, to Reuven himself. Omar Abaye, Lo Shonu, the teaching of the Mishnah that Ebed as Zuhuso, if the contested field was used as a border marker, this is true only if the sale was to Elo Liacher, to an outsider. Avol Liatzmoi, Loi Ebed as Zuhuso. If using the names we had before, if Levi was selling the neighboring field to Reuven himself, Reuven does not lose his rights to his own field, the field that was being used as a marker. The Omar, the Ma'arer, Reuven said, now Reuven was buying, he wasn't buying the field that he was contesting, he was buying the field that was next to the one he was contesting. And Levi was describing the field being sold as next to Levi's field, the field that Reuven was claiming as his own. So Reuven, he played along, and he explains, Idolo avdi lehachi. If I wouldn't have kept quiet, lo havim mazvin lo nihali, he wouldn't have sold this neighboring field, which I was very, very interested in buying. He wouldn't have sold it to me had I complained about the description of this field that I'm buying as bordering on what Levi claimed to be his field, when I know that that adjacent field is mine. My islach lemeimar. What are you going to say to challenge my silence? Iboyali lemimsar moida, that I should have spoken up to others. I should have issued a disclaimer. Moida is a disclaimer that though I'm buying this field, which is described as bordering on Levi's field, I protest that. You're challenging me that I should have indicated that to others. Well, that wouldn't have helped my situation in my quest for acquiring this field. Chavroch chavro islay v'chavro de chavroch chavro islay. Word travels by mouth. The person to whom I would have issued the modah, he has friends, and his friends have friends, and the word would have gotten back to Levi who was selling the field, and once again he would have canceled the deal and not sold me the field because of my protest. So therefore I remained silent. We now have an incident, a story, a maisa, and you'll notice that this goes till the Mishnah. Hahu de'asos simin li'acher. There was a case like this of a contested field that was being used as a border marker for another field. Ir'er v'shochiv. There was a person who complained, and it's the same case where he had signed on the sale. And in the Mishnah it says that if you do that, if you're signing on a deed that the field that you're complaining about is being used as a border marker and presented in the name of the other fellow, of the seller, and not yourself, you lose your rights. And that your complaining, your challenge is disregarded. And v'shochiv, and that ma'arer died. V'oikim apetroipa. And an executor was set up to tend to that man's estate. Osa apetroipus l'kameid abaye. The executor came to Abaye, Omarle. Abaye says to the man, you know, you're an executor of the deceased estate, but you should realize the field that he was claiming as his own, your clients cannot claim that field as an inheritance because their father had forfeited his rights to it by having signed on a bill of sale indicating that very field concerning which he was complaining belonged to someone else, the fellow who was selling an adjacent property. Omar, the apotropus, this executor speaks up and says, and you'll notice we have triangles on the side under the Mivneh heading, we indicate these are Tainus Sha'omron apotropus. These are claims that the apotropus makes to Abaye, and you'll see in this Gemara how this apotropus effectively gets the field back for his clients, the heirs. The apotropos says, "Ihave avun dias mikayim." If their father was alive, have toyin v'omar. He could have said, "Oh, you're claiming that I lose possession of the field that I'm complaining over because I indicated my consent to the seller's ownership by having signed on that deed in which my field was being described as a border." He can say, tell him echad osisilach, tell him as a furrow, let's say one row of planting, that is what I had indicated was the border and that of Levi, the seller. The entire field, with the exception of one strip of land, the entire field is mine. Yes, I know that I indicated that on the western side, Levi had property that was a border of the field being sold. The border was in effect one strip that belongs to Levi. Omalei, Abaye, upon hearing this, says, Shapir Kuamris, you're making a good point. The Omar of Yochanan, Imtoan V'Omar, tell him Echor Osisilach. Rabbi Yochanan says that if the Ma'arer counterclaimed and said, when I indicated that the western side of the field being sold bordered on Levi's field, he has one strip of land, not the entire field, he would be believed. Zil hav le mias telem echad. So Abai says, well, at least what you now have to do is you have to part with one furrow. Havi alo richba de dikli. Another detail is revealed now, that on that furrow on that row of ground, there was a row of trees, richba didikli, a sequence of trees planted along that furrow. Omar Le, the apotropos says, Ihave avu and diyas mikayim, if their father was still alive, havetoin viomar, he could have claimed, chazarti velokachti mimenu, that, yes, I had signed on that shtar, that deed, with the indication that the western border was on that which Levi owned, and it was one strip of land. But after I made that simen, afterwards I bought that furrow back from Levi. Omar Le, Abaye says, Shapir Karmas, you know, you're making a good point. The Omar Abiyuchanun, Imton Viomar, if the complainer said, Chazati Velokachtiv Mimenu, Ne'emon, that I subsequently bought it back from Levi, after I had signed on that deed of sale of the neighboring field, he would be believed. Now, there's a very important Rashi, a few lines down from here, Ne'emon. On what basis is he believed? Tapesh osiru apesh yehitir. The claims or the speech that makes things bad, makes things negative or weak, is the same power to make things strong, to positive. The me'achar sheyesh edim shoyse shelo, the nigzala heimenu. Once there are witnesses that the field had belonged to him and was stolen from him, ein lo zeh chus ba'isutelem elo al piv shel zeh shasah simin liacher. Levi and his claims to even that furrow is only based on the fact that Reuven the complainer had acknowledged it as Levi's by having signed on the deed. So Reuven the complainer is the source of Levi's claim to anything to begin with. So that Reuven, who's the complainer, is the one that had originally weakened his own position by acknowledging it as Levi's and signing it, and it's that very Reuven who's also saying, yes, and I bought it back from him. Omar Abaye, Hai man, we're back in the Gemara. Hai man, de moikim apotropa. If anyone should ever decide to set up an executor, noikim ki hai, should set up someone like this. De yoda lafuchi bischusu diasmi, who knows, who is expert in seeking out the rights of his yesaimim clients, of his the orphans over concerning whom he was appointed executor. In other words, if you got to choose anyone, choose someone like this. On the side, we have a topic heading as we approach the new Mishnah. Mi she sodehu mukof mikol hatzdodim, v'hoyo lo derech gisha l'sodehu, elo sh'nevad lo. We're going to describe a landlocked field. What do we mean by a landlocked field? There is a person owned a piece of property, and it had no access, direct access. It didn't border on a road. It was surrounded by fields owned by others. And it's obvious that at one point the inner field had a path, either owned a path or had rights rights to cut through one of those fields to get to one of the surrounding roads. However, in the course of time, it became was overgrown, it was lost, and the owner is owner of the inner field is now complaining, I want a path. The Mishnah, Misholach Minasayam, someone who went abroad, the Avda Derech Sdeo, and the path to his landlocked field got lost. Admon Omer Yelech Lo Baktzora. Admon says he can go through the shortest route, cut through whichever field has in it the shortest route to the road. Rashi says Yelech Lo Baktzora Al Korcham Yitolo Derech L'Sadeo, against the will of anyone who's surrounding him, he has a right to claim a path. But he must take the shortest path. He can't take to claim for himself more than that, more than the minimum. V'chachomim omrim yikne loy derech b'me'amona o yifrach b'avir. The only option he has is to pay whatever price. Me'amona is just an example of a lot of money. To pay whatever price they asked for it, or let him fly from his field to the road. Very simply, the chamim don't give the contester the upper hand. The Gemara. My taima de Rabbonan. Why do the Rabbonan shortchange or make this guy lose out? Shapir ko Admon. Admon seems to be saying a very correct point. Now, the thinking right now is that the Havamina right now is that the surrounding fields were owned by one party. So you have only two parties in this picture. You have an inner owner, and you have an owner of the ring of fields that surrounds this inner field. So that the inner guy has a very strong claim. You know, he says to the single owner surrounding all his fields, I have a path through one of your fields. In other words, I have a definite claim on you. So why is it that the Chachamim disregard that claim? Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Rav Kagon Shikifua Arba B'nei Adam Me'arba Ruchay Seha. The inner field was surrounded by four different land owners owning the four different fields. Yehachi my time at Admon. If that's the case, so each owner can easily push off this complainer and saying, yeah, you might have a path, but it's not through my field, it's through the other guy's field. So why would Admon say that he can claim a path, albeit the shortest path, but that he can make, that he can force a claim on them? That doesn't seem to be reasonable. Omar Rava. So Rava gives us two situations that there's really no agreement. There's no disagreement. It's only a third situation that will be the point of controversy. V'arba de'osu mikoach arba. If you have four surrounding owners, each one of whom bought from a previous owner, or v'arba de'osu mikoachad, or four current surrounding owners that each one bought from the same original owner of all four fields. In other words, there was a person that owned four pieces of property, and he subdivided his property into four sections, selling it to four separate purchasers. So in either of these cases, where you're dealing with four current owners, Kuliyama lo pligi demotzi matchile. Everyone agrees. Even Admon agrees that the current owners can push this guy off and say, you might have a claim, but it's not in my field. Let's go to the other guy. Ki pligi, the machlokus between Admon and the Chumim arises in the following situation. Bechad de'osi mikoyach arba. There is currently one owner of the four surrounding fields. Now that one owner, he bought his current real estate possession from four different people. Admon Sovar, Admon who gives the upper hand to the challenger, to the inner, to the landlocked guy, he says, Mikol Mokoim Darka Is Li Gaboch. I have a path through one of your fields. You completely surround me. So though you bought the fields from different people, you're the current owner of all of the property. So whichever way you look at it, my path cuts through one of your fields. Rabbonan Savri. The Rabbonan say, however, Ishaskis Shaskis, that the current owner of all four fields can tell the complainer, if you keep quiet and pay me a good price, a cheap price, but we'll settle on a good deal, just stop complaining, but you will pay me something, that's great. The Elo, and if you don't keep quiet, you keep pressing your claim, demanding a return of a path without having to pay for it, you know what I'm going to do? Mahadarno shtoro lamarayu. I'll return the deeds to the four different people that I bought the property from, and you'll have no luck against them. In other words, if I remove myself from the picture and restore it to the priest, to the prior state of affairs, you'll have to then deal with four separate people, and as indicated, you have no chance against them because each one will push you off. You see that on the side we have a mivne, a structural note, because we now encounter a new marking. And by the way, anyone who is interested in accessing marked Gemaras, we remind you that we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. On the side, we have the mivne, the diamond appears. Shnei Maisim shel Tzavah Lifnei Misa. There are two stories of a person issuing a will prior to his death. Chalukas Rechush, we'll see the division of property. Dekolim Labas. In both cases, you'll see a person has an estate. He's issuing a will, and he has palm trees, and he wants to dedicate a palm to a daughter. In general, daughters, when there are sons, daughters are not in the line of inheritance. But he wants to give as a gift a palm tree. Now the Gemara. Hahud Omar Lahu, Diklo Lebras. There was a father that was dying, and at the time of death, he says, palm tree to daughter. Also Yasmi, Polug Lenichsi, Lo Yavu Lo Dikla. The sons, the orphans, the heirs divided up the estate and did not give her a palm tree. Sover of Yosef Lemeimar, Hainu Masnisen. Rav Yosef thought that, well, this is an illustration of the case of the Mishnah, where each heir can say, yeah, you have a palm tree coming to you, but it's not from the piece, it's not from my property. That is reminiscent of the opinion of the Chachomim in the Mishnah. Omar le Abaye, Midomi, Abaye says to Rav Yosef, how can you compare this to the case of the Mishnah? Hosam, in the case of the Mishnah, Kolchad v'chad motzi matchilei, each surrounding owner can push the complainer who is seeking out a path to the next guy. Hocha, in this case, Dikla Gabayu Hu. The palm tree is definitely here amongst them. The daughter's palm tree to which the daughter has a right is definitely amongst them. All of these properties were one property at the time of the will. My takantayu. So what's the solution? Lesvu lo dikla. So these heirs will have to part with one tree, and you'll say, well, who's the one that has to part with it? The answer is as follows: one tree will be given to her, v'lehadru v'liflugu meresha, and they shall redivide the entire estate again without factoring in that particular palm tree. So it's not as if any one of them had given up on the palm tree, but rather she gets the palm tree off the top, and the estate is then re-divided. Hahu di Omar lahu diklo labras. Same situation. Father dedicating a palm tree to a daughter. Shachiv, the father died, and he died leaving an estate, fields with lots of trees in them. And amongst his properties, he also had Vishavik Trey Palgi the Dikla. Amongst his many different properties, he had a partnership in two trees. Partnership with someone else. So that if he had a partnership in two trees, in effect he had two half trees. Now, dealing with partners is not always the easiest thing to do, so that when the Yesoimim inherited the estate, their least interest would be in those half trees. So what did they do? They wanted to dedicate or give to the daughter who was to receive a palm tree, basically those two half trees. Will that be a fulfillment of the will, though? Yosef Ravashi v'kokashiyale. Ravashi sat and analyzed. Mikoru inshi litre palgi dikli dikla oilo. Do people refer to two half trees by using the term dikla? The father had used the term, he said, dikla labras. Does the term dikla describe two half trees? Amalei of Mordechi, the Ravashi, Hochi Amar Avimi Magronia, Mishmei de Rava. So Rav Mordechi tells Ravashi that I heard from that Avimi says, in the name of Rava, Koru Inshi, Litre Palgi Dikli, Dikla. People do refer to two half trees by the term Dikla. So that's what she will get. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access Marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.